Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. Today I'm joined by Dominic Maxwell, Chief Theatre Critic for the Times of London. On the show we'll be running through a triple bill of plays on in London this summer. At the Phoenix Theatre we'll see how Bend It Like Beckham scores against the original film. We'll discover how The Motherfucker with the Hat fares in the UK after a very successful run on Broadway. And we'll get caught up in an existential nightmare as Kafka's The Trial hits the Young Vic. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. So, welcome to the show, Dominic.
Hi, Steve.
Thank you very much for coming today. We're going to kick things off at the Phoenix. That's two
You've done two football puns
we've managed to get in already. With the new musical, Bend It Like Beckham. It's based on the 2002 British film of the same name, which follows 18-year-old Jess as she tries to pursue a career in women's football, very much against her family's wishes. Dominic, how easy is it to translate a film like this into an all-singing, all-dancing stage production?
I think it's very hard. And the odd thing about this is I think it works. It works. It's a very enjoyable show. It's a really good feel-good show like the original. It is very similar, if you ignore the fact that there's singing and dancing in the way there was. In terms of clinging to the story, it's very similar to the original. But I think because Howard Goodall's music is very important in it and because the dancing is so well done, it's one of those ones, if you, you know, let's do the football analogy, at the interval it's a sort of 1-1 draw. And then I think by the end it's a 3-1 victory because all the component parts build on each other until you get what you know what you want from a musical, which is this sort of wall-to-wall grin, taken out of yourself feeling.
The important question, does the football work? Because frankly, football on stage, on screen, whenever anyone tries to make any drama out of football, it usually stinks if they try to actually do actual football.
They do it pretty well. They do it two ways, I'd say. One is they have a sort of the women's team do dance routines, and that's, you know, it's not football, but it's a bit like football. That's pretty good. They have a few set pieces where they actually make the ball, when Jess kicks it, they make it bend around the auditorium. That's very neat. I think what I would have liked is one set piece, one song, where they really say, okay, because everyone goes around saying, oh, she's amazing, you've got such a talent, this is very important to the story. I would have liked one set piece in which she really proves it to us. She does some good ball control, but in which we really see her playing some amazing football, and we think, okay, I know why you want to defy your parents, why you want to risk everything for this. I want to see on the stage that you, how special this thing is that you've got.
In a sense, it works perfectly as a musical, doesn't it, in that it's got a good basic story about, you know, there's a protagonist that we want to root for. There's something she's got to fight against, and there is, without giving it away, but really, frankly, you should know by now, there is a heartwarming victory at the end. It's got all the elements, actually, that you'd want for a musical.
Yes, it has. And you know, it's not Ibsen. It's not trying to be. It's trying to be a populist, feel-good, and I don't say that in any way derogatorily. I mean, these are difficult. If everyone could do this, they'd all be doing it. It carries you away with it. Like I said, I had some doubts at the interval. But I have to say, my 7- and 10-year-old daughters, who I took along, they were just absolutely carried away by it throughout, because it has that sort of that family appeal. It has that breadth of appeal. And it's beautifully performed. Natalie Dew, who plays the lead role that was Parminder Nagra in the film, there's just such a lovely openness about her. It's just a pleasure to watch her standing there smiling and enjoying being on stage.
And also, it seems to compare pretty well to other big-name musicals that have brought people through the doors of the West End, but haven't necessarily been well-liked by people like yourself.
What are you thinking here? Are you thinking Made in Dagenham or something like that? Or
I'm thinking just generally about big-name musicals that are clearly aimed at the sort of person that doesn't go to the theatre that often and actually isn't really that great.
Well, I think one of the best things about this show is the way that it blends the British with the Asian. The score in the first half is very solidly sort of 60s, 70s-ish British pop songs. And then what they do in the second half is they bring the Asian music together with it. And some of the most glorious moments are the Asian music bits. And so it really is a genuinely... The part of the feel-good thing, I think, is the multicultural feel. You really do feel like the Asian and the British coming together and sort of humming nicely together.
Okay, let's move on to another play in the West End, although this has been a hit on Broadway before. It's a little bit different, I think it's fair to say. The Motherfucker with the Hat, it's landed at the Littleton Theatre after a very successful stint on Broadway, which earned it 6 Tony nominations. It's a play by Stephen Adley Girgis about the use of drugs and alcohol to numb the pain of living. So, yes, somewhat different from Bend It Like Beckham. What made this play such a success on Broadway?
Well, I think Chris Rock was one of the reasons, and he's not here, but it doesn't need him. It's a glorious play. Stephen Adley Girgis, he's had a couple of things on over here before, but this is his best play because it's... He's got this wonderfully propulsive dialogue, and he's got these terribly flawed characters who go around, as the title suspects, suggests, swearing at each other and being kind of nasty to each other, but kind of inconsiderate to each other. But he's got such a forgiving eye on them, you know, because we all behave badly, or we all don't behave as well as we'd like to think we do. Now, these characters just happen to be, on the whole, drug addicts or recovering drug addicts. But he pinpoints the way we all get on together. And it's sort of, although there's no families on stage, it is sort of a play about family. It's about how we find in our friends or in 12-step recovery, we sort of give ourselves new structures. So it's laugh out loud funny a lot of the time, but it's got real pain in it. And he's got a kind of street poetry about him that enables those two to come together without you feeling the gears changing.
Which is an incredibly hard skill to master,
isn't it?
To be incredibly funny and also moving and believable. It's a mix that is rarely seen.
Yeah, and it's a very New York play. And one of the good things about this production is it's an Anglo-American cast. It's three New Yorkers, three Americans, two English. And sometimes, you know, you see New York plays that come over here, and there's something about that American physicality, but particularly that New York sort of openness and brashness, that even the best British actors just can't do. And I sometimes think British actors should just be banned altogether from doing David Mamet plays, for example. But this time you can't actually tell which ones are the Limeys and which ones are the Americans. They've all got that kind of bustle about them. They've all got that kind of vernacular poetry about them. And it's an hour 45 straight through, and it's just a rush. The way Indu Rubasingham directs it, even though lots of scenes are in, well, all of the scenes are in apartments and lots of them are sat down, there's kind of a physicality, there's a sense of motion, there's a sense of restlessness about it. And this is really one of those plays. I mean, you're saying, you know, musicals for people who don't go to the theatre all that often. This is a play I would recommend to people, and I know lots of them, who think that theatre isn't for them, who think that theatre's a bit too staid or still. This is really alive.
And it works as well for a London audience, you think?
Yeah, I think it's that old saying that the particular is the universal. I mean, these characters are particularly New Yorkish. They're particularly Puerto Rican, three of them. And yet, by paying attention to that, by honouring that, it's a story about identity and about addiction and about love and about families that anyone can understand.
And do you think it'd like to be as much of a success in London as it was in New York?
I think so. I mean, because it's on at the National Theatre, I can't see it moving out. I can't see it transferring. But I think it should do very well from now till, I think it's the end of August, it's on at the Littleton.
It is. It's 18th of August. It is on, in fact, no, 20th of August, there we are, on at the Littleton at the National Theatre. Finally, we head to The Trial at the Young Vic, a play based on the book of the same name by Franz Kafka, famous for his novels about existential nightmares. Dominic, before we get into how they turn this into a stage play, explain the story briefly for those who may not be familiar with it.
Very briefly, it's the story of Joseph K., who on his, I think it's 30th or in this play, 35th birthday, gets a knock on the door. The powers that be have accused him of some crime and declared him guilty of some crime. What crime exactly it is, he never finds out. He just knows that he's guilty. And over the course of the story, he gets sucked into this sort of nightmarish state that harasses him, spits all over him, and finally does away with him.
And when you read the book, it's hard to work out exactly. There's no sort of obvious way of staging it, is there? It's quite a challenge to work out how to take it from page to stage.
It is, but not like this. Please don't do it like this.
Oh, really?
I did find it a trial. I think this is one of the dullest 2 hours I've spent in the theatre for
oh, God,
a very
really?
Long time. And that's despite the source material and despite having Rory Kinnear as Joseph K. And you'd have thought, I'd have thought, you know, seeing Rory Kinnear just sitting looking at the wall for 2 hours would be pretty good. He is one of our best actors. But this is sort of flamboyant but interminable. The audience sits behind wooden panels raised up as if we were the jury, and the actors and the sets come on and off on this travelator, on this conveyor belt. And it's sort of relocated to early 70s England, as if sort of from Galton and Simpson had done the adaptation. And it has that sort of slightly skew whiff, it's like a slightly nightmarish episode of Hancock. But it's not as funny as an episode of Hancock. It's actually not as nightmarish as an episode of Hancock. Despite Rory Kinnear's best efforts, there is no real... And despite the never-ending bizarreness of these characters who come on in bright orange and sort of wearing oxygen masks with hunting wear or whatever it is, it just feels like weird is piled on weird is piled on weird is piled on weird until after about 5 minutes you think, okay, I get it. This society is arbitrary and cruel and ridiculous. What else have you got for me? And not really much else. It's just set piece after set piece after set piece. Can you hear? I didn't really like it.
No, indeed. What do you think went wrong with this? Because as you say, it's got Rory Kinnear in it, who is fantastic and has been doing some of the best stage work, in Britain over the last few years. It seems like it should be, an event.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's trying too hard. Richard Jones, the director, is often very eccentric. And often to great effect. He's done lots of things with the Young Vic before. He's done lots of operas before. But I think the trouble with this is, take all the set pieces individually. They're great. This is the kind of failure only someone who's really good can come up with. But because there's nothing normal at the middle of it, because even Joseph K, when we first see him, he's talking in this sort of nonsense language somewhere between Gollum, A Clockwork Orange, and Professor Stanley Unwin. And so he's weird as well, even though Rory Kinnear then does a very good job of making him sort of sweaty outsider trying to figure out what's going on. So there's nothing normal. So, you might
It's quite hard to find something to hold on to, find your own way into it.
Yeah, you might be impressed by it, but I challenge you to care. I challenge you to care as this poor guy struggles against the powers that be to his doom.
Okay, so the trial at the Young Vic is going to be there until August 22nd, but not necessarily one to...
Rather you than me.
Okay, there we are. Lovely. So the trial is on at the Young Vic until the end of August. We've also had the Motherfucker in the Hat at the Littleton. That's on until the 20th. And Bennett Like Beckham, it's booking until October 23rd. It's got that feel that it's going to go on and on and
no,
on.
No West End musical only wants to run for six months. So I think we
less
can guess
urgent. Less urgent to go and see that, but maybe get down to the Littleton as soon as you can. Dominic Maxwell, thank you very much indeed. That brings us to the end of the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. The producer was Holly Fisher. The researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be discussing the week in books. And if you want the lowdown on Broadway this July, and I'm sure you will, then tune in 2 weeks today when Matt Wolfe will be here in the studio. But for now, thanks for listening.